lesson objective is to look at various reasons that motivate us to actions. And from a personal objective is to examine myself to make sure that I have the right motivation. To examine myself to make sure that I have the right motivation. Scripture, James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Okay, but again, it says you ask wrongly means you have the wrong motivation. The wrong motivation. Okay, and in this case, James is saying that what they ask for is only so that they can spend money or spend what they need on their own passions, not on what God wants for them, but for what they have decided they want. And that may not be the proper motivation. Now, let's start talking about motivation. What motivated you as a child? Now, how many was motivated with candy or other rewards? You did something good, you got candy. Or you got, you know, some type of reward. If you did, just click yes. Let us know. Okay. And then some people were motivated by spankings or threats of spankings. How many was motivated that way? Just hit the chat box and say yes, if you were. No one? No one was motivated by spankings or threats? I was. My grandmother certainly told me, if you don't do this, I will spank your butt. Or she would throw something at me if she couldn't reach me. So, I mean, no question about that. I was motivated by that. I see Elder Robbins raised her hand. So I guess she's in the same boat I'm in. Okay. And then some were motivated simply because you were told, do it because I said so. My grandmother would say, do something. And I would say, why? And she said, there is no why. I said, do it. And she expected me to do it. That was my motivation. Nothing else other than I was simply told that I had to do it. And I obeyed and did it. Or if the case I was told not to do it, I obeyed and didn't do it. Okay. But as a child, that's how we are motivated most often, to do what our parents or grandparents want us to do. Now, what motivates us as a Christian? This is going to lead us into conversation today. And again, if you have any questions, please stop me and let's talk about it. Okay. One thing that motivates us as Christians is rewards from God. Rewards from God. What do I mean there? Job 1:9-11. Someone read that, please. Job 1:9-11. Someone read that, please.
Okay. Job 1:9-11. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Amen.
Amen. So Satan is suggesting that Job is doing what he does because he got a reward from God. That's what he suggests. In fact, that not a suggest, that's what he states clearly. Right. And sometimes we use this, and I think people call it the prosperity ministry, is where you do all these things because God is going to reward you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you a house, a bigger house, or give you a bigger car. He's going to give you money, you know, and so you worship God because you're going to get this reward. And again, people call it prosperity ministry. I'm challenged with that myself. Not that God doesn't give us what we need or even more than what we need, but I'm challenged. My challenge is, are we doing it for the right motive? Are we doing it only to receive what we perceive as this reward from God? I was reading the other day, someone said that there were empty pews in the church, but that if he put a sign out that says, everyone who comes in will get $100, the pews will be full. But not for the right reason, not for the right motive. So we need to be careful that we understand that while God gives us rewards, certainly he does, that's not why we're supposed to be doing what we do. Because Satan suggested that. And if Satan's suggesting that, that means it's wrong. Clearly, if Satan says it, it's wrong. It's completely untrue. So Satan is saying that Job only does right because God blesses him. And if God stops blessing him, then Job is going to curse him. That's what Satan says. So we need to be careful about this thing of expecting reward from God because of what we do. Because the Bible doesn't teach that. At least I don't think it does. Another motive for us as Christians is that the threat of hell. Someone read that, please.
Sorry, Pastor Joe, can I ask a question?
Yes.
All right. I quite agree that our core motive for serving God should not be just because of the blessings. But I think somehow, God also tells us that, hey, see, if you obey me, there are blessings that will follow you. You know, so the only thing I'm just wondering, is it that we should not look at toward reward from God when we do what is right? For instance, when you read Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, that says, bring all the tithes into my house that they may be meat in my house, and prove me, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there would not be enough room to receive it. So, I mean, I'm just saying that somewhere God is also telling us that there's a blessing for doing what is right. And, you know, so that's just my feeling, and I would just like you to clarify this. Thank you.
Okay, good point. There is a blessing that God gives us when we do right, but that's not why we're supposed to be doing right. We do right because it's right. If you get a blessing as a result of it, great, grand, terrific. If you don't, great, grand, terrific. It don't matter. What matters is that you do what's right. It's kind of like the other day when I was talking to a student and I says, you know, if you give something to someone and they say, thank you, how do you feel? And they told me how they felt. I say, now, if you give someone something and they don't say thank you, how do you feel? And they told me how they felt. And I said, the problem is that how you feel is not dependent upon whether the other person says thank you or not. How you feel is dependent upon whether or not you did the right thing or not. And so I'm saying that the same here is that when we do the right thing, if God decides to bless us for that particular thing that we did, great, we're thankful. But if for some reason we're not, or we can't equate the blessing to it, it's okay. You still did the right thing. So it's not that we don't get blessings, but we don't do something just for the blessing. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. And that's an important thing to know, because again, this prosperity ministry preaches that you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And if you do all these things, you're going to get all of these other things back. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. If you pay your tithe, not to get something back. You pay your tithe because it's the right thing to do. If you believe in paying tithe. If you get something back, great. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. It was the right thing to do. That's what motives come in. Why do we do what we do? Okay. Now, the next thing here is the threat of hell. Someone want to read Revelation 21:8, please?
Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
So for some people, that motivates them to live right. Because I know that if I don't live right, I'm going to end up in hell. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad motivation, but not exactly what I think God expected of us. It's like the threat of a spanking. The threat of a spanking works sometimes, but at some point in time, it stops working. And C, simply because God said it. Someone read Matthew 22:37, and someone else will read John 14:25, please.
Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
And someone, John 14:25.
John 14:25. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Now, is there a threat there? Is there a threat? Hello? Is there a threat there?
There isn't.
Okay. Is there a reward there?
There is a condition.
Is there a reward there?
No reward.
No reward. No reward, no threat. But what it says is that we are supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And it says, and if you love him, you do what? You keep his commandments. So why do I do what I do? Because I love God. Yes, Trezor.
Yes, Pastor Joe. Here, as you were asking the question, if there is a threat and order, but here I'm seeing there is like a condition. You say, if you love me, I'm seeing like a condition.
Yeah, the condition.
I don't know if you're getting my point.
Yeah, the condition is there, but the motivation is what? The motivation is love.
Okay.
The motivation is not hell. The motivation is not reward. The motivation is love.
Amen.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get us. We talk about love and being important. I'm trying to continually talk about love, maybe in a different context, but still talk about it. It says, you know, when your parents tell you to do something and you do it, because just because they say do it, because you respect them, you love them, you want to please them. Not necessarily what you're going to get or not get, but because you want to please your parents. You want your mother to say, good job. You want your father to say, good. Because you love them and they love you. God, that's really what it's about. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The motivation for doing what God tells us to do is because we love him. We worship him. We adore him. That's the motivation. That's opposite of what Satan said. Because Satan said the motivation was that God's going to give us something. And if he don't give it to us, we're going to turn away from God. And if your motivation is only because God's going to give you something and you don't get it, you will turn away. Because the first thing you will say is, well, God didn't hear my prayer. God doesn't hear prayers when you don't get what you want. It's not about getting what we want. That's not why we do what we do. We do what we do because we have the special relationship with God. That's why we should be doing what we're doing. That's what should motivate us. Comments, questions?
Yeah, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
Don't mind me that I'm bringing this up again.
No problem.
I'm thinking, we should love God with all our hearts, because as a matter of fact, I found out that this sort of prosperity gospel can be very, very challenging, because some people who don't actually love God do what the prosperity message says, give $1,000 and God will give you $10,000, something like that. And then they give the $1,000 and they wait and wait and don't get the $10,000 back from God. And they say, somebody defrauded me. Was it the pastor or God? So yeah, there's a challenge with that. So yeah, I think like you said, the most important thing is the love for God. But I'm also wondering, is it bad to be motivated? To serve God because, you know, okay, there's a reward. But though you said, yeah, it's not, you said, I think from what you've said, the most important thing is the love aspect rather than the motivation for reward. So, okay, yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, I think, see, there's nothing wrong with motivation. The word motivation is okay. We just need to make sure that we have the right motivation. So that we don't do what you just said. We're motivated incorrectly, and then when it don't happen, we react negatively. So it's like I know as a child, if I do good in school, my mother is going to bake a cake, or she's going to take me to get a pizza. She's going to do something, you know, to reward me for doing well in school. But that's not why I do well in school. I do well in school because I want to do well in school. I get this reward, and God will reward us, no question about it. But we don't do it because of the reward. That makes sense?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Okay. Let's look at some examples of motivation in the Bible. Look at some examples. Okay, Eve. Eve was motivated by wanting to be like God. Someone read that for me, please. Genesis 3, 4 to 6.
Okay. Genesis 3, 4 to 6. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who also with her, and he ate it.
What I find interesting about this, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to her eye. So it tells me that before this conversation with the serpent, she didn't see the fruit as being good or pleasing. It was just fruit. But once the motivation changed to being like God, knowing good and evil, it began to look good. That tells me is that when we have the wrong motivation, we can take what's not good and make it look good because of the wrong motivation. We make it good when it's really not good. But our eyes change based upon how we're motivated. Questions there? Okay, let's look at another example. Saul. Someone read 1 Samuel 15, 7 through 9, please. Miriam. Can you read that for us? Are you there? Maria. Okay, can you read that for us? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
It says Saul visited the Anaka while fighting. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes. Okay, can you read it for us, please?
Yeah. Sorry, I was connected to a Bluetooth.
That's all right.
Okay. It says Saul defeated the Amalekites fighting all the way from Avia to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured King Agai of Amalek alive and killed all the people. But Saul and his men spared Agai's life and did not kill the best sheep and cattle, the best calves and lamb, or anything else that was good. They destroy only what was useless or worthless.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's go back and understand this, is that God had told Samuel to instruct Saul to kill everybody, kill everything. But Saul and his men decided not to follow the commands of God through Samuel. And Saul says that his motivation was that these things are good. He's going to sacrifice them to God. But that's not what God said to do. Also, Saul said he was motivated because the army wanted to do this. So he wanted to please other people. He didn't want to please God. He chose to please other people rather than choose to obey God. So again, when we get motivated by the wrong reason, we end up doing the wrong thing. And because Saul did this, Saul lost his kingship. God was not satisfied with Saul at all. Because God told Saul to kill everything. Saul chose not to and used the excuse that he's going to sacrifice it to God. That's only an excuse because God didn't say, I want this as a sacrifice. So when we want to do something, when we're motivated by the wrong reasons to do something, we find excuses to why do something. We find excuses. We need to be careful of that. Let's look at David. Someone read 1 Samuel 17, 36 to 37, please.
First Samuel 17, 36, 37, 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. David did not see a giant, but an adversary of God. Amen.
Amen. Going back to what we say, when we're motivated by the right thing or the wrong thing, we see things a little different. Now, Goliath was a giant, but David didn't see him as a giant because of David's motivation. David's motivation was that the giant was talking about his God, his Lord. And that wasn't acceptable to David. So David did not see him as a giant. When we are motivated by the right reasons, we don't see things the way other people see them. It goes back to Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, the other 10 spies saw giants because they were motivated by the wrong reason. Joshua and Caleb said, no problem. We got it. Because they were motivated by the right reason. When you're motivated by the right reason, you will see things differently. You will see things differently. In this case, David did. Rahab. Someone read that, please. Joshua 2, 12, 13.
Joshua 2, 12 and 13. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death.
Okay. And someone read Hebrews 11, 31.
Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient.
Okay. So you have Rahab, who is a non-Israelite. And she's heard about their success in battle. But no one has taught her about the Lord. But she believed that if she did what she thought was the right thing, which was that her family will be saved. Her motivation was love. In this case, love of her family. That was her motivation. She saw these spies differently than the king did. The king saw the spies and he wanted to kill them. She saw the spies as friends, as saviors for her family. Again, with the right motivation, we see things differently than we would see things with the wrong motivation. And remember now, Rahab was great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Non-Israelite, a prostitute, but a mother of Jesus. Why? Because she was motivated for the right reason. She was motivated by the right reason. Motivation is important. Abraham comes out and follows God's commandments with Lot, and they have a lot of cattle, but they have a problem. Their workers are arguing with each other because they got so much, so many animals and not enough land. Someone reads this from Genesis 13, 9 to 11.
Pastor, I think there's a question.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Someone asked the question.
Yes, please. Wasn't Rahab's motivation borderline selfish? Yeah. Plus, I wanted you to put some context in this Christian journey. Is there the very right motivation outside of, is there the very right motivation? You know, because you keep saying the wrong motivation. What then is the flip side? The love for God?
The love for God is the right motivation. That's the right motivation.
Was that Rahab's?
No, Rahab out of love for her family. Well, you could call that personal if you want to, she didn't know the Lord like we know, like that the spies knew the Lord. She had never had anybody talk to her. She had never read the Ten Commandments. She didn't know any of those things. She just did what she thought was right, based upon her limited knowledge of what she had heard that the Israelites had done after they left Egypt. So we can't hold her to the same standard that we would someone who's been taught. Not the same standard.
Gotcha.
Because she had not been taught. She's going based only on what she's heard. And if you want to say it's safe, because she talks about her family, but she talks about her family first. She put herself last. But her family was important to her. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes.
No, expressing my thanks. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Thank you. I like it when people have questions. You know, it makes it a lot more interesting. And remember, the same question you have, someone else has. They're just afraid to ask it. So someone else had that same question. Okay. Now we have Abraham and Lot. Someone want to read that, please? Genesis 13, 9 to 11.
Okay, I do. Genesis 9:13-11 it reads, it's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men departed company.
Oh, stop there. Stop there. Stop right there. Because that's the end of the verse. The two men parted company. And then I added, this is me adding, Lot was motivated by greed. Lot was motivated by greed and what he could see. Abraham was motivated by generosity and faith. Again, the motivation, what you see, Lot was motivated by greed. He saw the green grass, well-watered grass. Abraham was motivated by generosity and faith, and he said, whatever's there, it's going to be okay. Because he loved God, and he had faith in God. Questions there? And we know that Lot got into trouble because Lot ended up having to be saved by Abraham several different times because he let his greed and what he could see get in the way of common sense. And Abraham was motivated by generosity and faith. Motivation. Conclusion. What motivates us? What motivates me? What motivates you? 1 Timothy 6:10. Someone read that, please.
First Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Okay. The love of money, not money, but the love of money. The love of money motivates us to make bad decisions. The love of money motivates us to make bad decisions. You have job A, job B, and job C. Job A pays more money than job B and C. So immediately you say, I'm taking job A. Purely because you make more money. That may not be the best choice. I'm not saying it's the right, wrong choice, but it may not be the right choice. So we need to look at what we use to make decisions. If the idea is to make as much money as you can make, that may not be the right motivation. May not be. When you decide to go to college and what do you want to do, why did you choose the profession that you chose? Did you choose that profession because you can make a lot of money at it? Or did you choose that profession because you think that's what God wants you to do? Love of money can have us make wrong decisions because we're running after money. Yes, Elder Clarence.
I just want to read three verses as my comment.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 4-6. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist in its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. I will repeat that. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or afraid or resentful. It takes no account of evil done. It pays no attention to suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice, unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. The love of money is opposite of that. The love of money comes from wanting it for me. Wrong motivation. Thank you, Elder Clarence.
Okay. A quick question, yes. Pastor.
Yes.
How can one develop good motivation or have good motivation?
Okay. Hold that thought. I'm going to get to it. I hope. So hold that thought. But don't ask me again, okay?
Okay.
Okay. What motivates us? Praise of people. Matthew 6:5. Someone read that, please.
Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
Sometimes we do things just so someone can say something good about us. No other reason other than that. Okay, Ananias ended up dying because of what? Because he wanted the people to say, wow, he gave his money. Wrong motive. Bad decisions. You cannot be motivated by other people. You cannot be motivated by praise of other people. That can't motivate you. Now, if you do something good and somebody says, you did something good, and you say, thank you, that's okay. But that's not why you did it. That's not why you did it. You did it for the right reason. Whether someone praises you or not, it's not material. What's material is that you did it for the right reason. Ego. Luke 18:11, please. Someone read that.
Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector.
Doing something because it's going to make me feel like I'm better than everyone else. Because I got to stroke my ego. Not the right motivation. Not doing something just so I can say I'm better than someone else. Because I'm not better than anyone else. I'm not less than anyone else, but I'm not better than anyone else either. We all in this boat together. Now, the question was asked, what motivates us? 1 Peter 4:11. Someone read that, please.
You have it. Take it up.
Okay. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God himself, I guess. Anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which... Okay. Please hold on.
Which God supplies.
Okay. Which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So someone asked the question, what should be a good motivation? What's the good motivation? Is to bring glory to God. That's the motivation. Everything else is not important. Everything else is not important. What is important is all of what we do, is it bringing glory to God? There's other places in the Bible that says the same thing. We are supposed to witness so that people can see God in us and bring glory to God. Everything we do should be for this reason. Back to Job. Job glorified God. Even with all of the stuff he went through, he ended up doing what? Saying, God, you're right. God, you're right. You are the one. And God rewarded him for understanding that. So it's not that we're not going to get rewarded, but that's not why we do what we do. We do what we do because it glorifies God. We worship God. We praise God. That should be the motivation. That should be the motivation. Questions?
Okay. In regards to the question that I asked, I think I would also, maybe if you could explain more, Pastor Joe, on okay. how you could actually get to that point where your mind is focused on glorifying God, that being the motive.
Okay. When you have a decision to make, you look at why you are making this decision and make sure that God is first and foremost. It doesn't mean that other things shouldn't come into play, but they should not override God. God should be first. Okay. Again, if I have job A and job B and both of them are the same, everything's the same about them, so A pays more than B, and I think that's consistent with glorifying God. Nothing wrong with taking A, because I can take A and use the excess money that I got and use it to give to charity, give it to someone who needs it. So God has blessed me with a position that allows me to be able to use some resources I have to give to people who need it. But the reason for me taking job A is not for me to make more money. It's for me to have more resources to do God's work. So every time you have to make a decision about something like that, you know, then you're going to say, what motivates you is going to be, is it consistent with the glory of God? If it is, great, grand, terrific. If it isn't, then I need to rethink what I'm doing. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, Pastor, but I think it also adds up to another question, or it brings in... I think maybe in a more realistic way, many a times that we want to do. There are so many good things that we want to do. There are so many times that we want to have these good motives. But maybe, let me say the flesh. Maybe the flesh just fails us. So how can we be masters over the flesh? How can we dominate? We go through with those right motives.
Okay. And time is running out on us, but two things. One is pray. Pray without ceasing. Talked about that before. Doesn't mean necessarily getting on your knees, but it means everything that you do and say, do it in a prayerful manner. Do it in a prayerful manner. Okay. And second is put people around you who you feel comfortable understand what you're trying to do. And you can ask them, what do you think? And let them say yay, nay. You know, you way off base or you right on. But those I think are the two primary ways of doing this. Again, is that you're not in this game by yourself. Just make sure you got good teammates. And always, always keep yourself in a prayerful experience, looking for a prayerful experience so that you can hear what God has to say. And I think next week, I'm going to make, I don't know, we'll see. I can say next week, maybe talk about decision-making. Because this is going back to how do you make decisions. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that next week. We'll see. Any other questions? Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Kenley, you got it.
Okay, thank you very much, Pastor Joe, for this powerful topic. We've indeed learned a lot, and we just continue asking for God's grace to help us digest fully this message that he has given us today. All right. I don't know. Do we have people in the house? Can we just say amen to today's message? Today's powerful message. Can we just say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Do we have people?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.